when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to a new episode of Inside China Tech. I'm Zhen Su, a tech reporter with the South China Morning Post. So last week we had Edith Young, a venture capitalist who runs a blockchain fund. And she was talking about, you know, the current issues of stricter immigration restrictions on Chinese students and tech talent. She's a super interesting person who has had a lot of experience in blockchain. So we decided to keep her in the studio and ask her more about it and where the technology is heading. So Edith has some very fascinating insights into not just the potential for blockchain to change how we bank and how we do business, but also, you know, really cool insights into how the mainland China is viewing and adopting blockchain that is slightly different from how the rest of the world is doing it. So let's get right into it. Edith, congratulations on your new fund, by the way, Proof of Capital. I believe that's
Thank you. Very recent.
Yeah, you want to tell us a little bit more about what this fund is?
I'm very excited about the new fund. Proof of Capital is a blockchain-focused venture capital fund, $50 million, focused on early up to B in terms of stage. I think we're really, really excited about the blockchain space and in terms of focus, mainly focus on three different areas. Number one, the most obvious use case for blockchain is absolutely finance related. Not the crazy crypto stuff, but really about like the true mass adoption of what you're going to use blockchain for. Think about payment, remittances, digital asset wallet, custody solution, exchanges. These are just a few examples where you already see substantial and unicorn level companies already in these sort of areas. It's really, really exciting to see. Second area is around more infrastructure of the blockchain space, regardless it's privacy, security, identity, scalability. These, if you think about, you know, a tech ecosystem, you can't only think about application. You also need to think about who's going to be the next AWS, like who is going to be like the hardware, the metal of this whole infrastructure. So we are very excited about, you know, sort of true adoption, infrastructure level and projects that we want to invest in. And also on the hardware side, we're very comfortable as well. Definitely a very exciting time.
Yeah. So is this fund concentrated specifically in the Greater China region or in the US as well? Or
I've always been about, you know, China and US cross-border. I think that the hot spot in terms of blockchain talents is definitely between Beijing, Shenzhen, Silicon Valley. Like these are the cities where you will find people with very, very strong background of like blockchain development, cryptography, security. I think without, you know, talent, there's no great companies. So we will continue to like focus on like China, cross-border China and US.
Yeah. So this is obviously very blockchain focused. What is it about blockchain that you find so exciting that you've decided, you know, to have this fund that's dedicated?
So remember earlier today, I was telling you about, I was watching this CCTV public video about how Chinese government is educating the Chinese population on what is blockchain. And literally coming from CCTV, blockchain is like the best thing since sliced bread, the best thing since the born of the internet. What I really, really enjoyed learning about blockchain, it really changed the way how I think about trust. Think about, you know, who owns what, like privacy and data ownership. And I think, you know, after now somewhat 15, 20 years, or the iPhone now is 11 or 12 years old, there's just such a large amount of data, mostly owned by sort of the great eight, of internet companies, right? So in China, it's the BAT, Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent. And in the US is Google, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, and
Amazon.
And if you think about like these eight companies, and the amount of data you and I generating every day is owned by all these guys. Like, what's up with that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see Facebook getting into so much trouble monetizing our data. It's not just the data part. It's really all about trust. So I think the concept of like blockchain could potentially enable the way that we re-architect the internet, and mostly around how we restructure the way that we own data. And that's why I'm excited about blockchain. But having said that, you know, I think right now, in terms of particular cross-border China, US, and you know, a year earlier, you see a lot of really negative news about how China is blocking crypto. But blockchain technology is absolutely something like Chinese government is very, very supportive of like pushing forward. You see like BAT, they all have their own sort of private blockchain enterprise standard that they are pushing out. I just have so much fun watching this whole CCTV education, although a little bit different definition of what blockchain is about. In the Chinese government, definition of it is not necessarily decentralization. It's about this intermediary, no more middlemen. So I guess the definition between the China and the West is a little bit different. But to me, in my head, is a really, really great signal where, you know, the whole world in my head is the two powerhouses, China, US, and both of these two countries have so many talent and exciting project that we're looking at.
Yeah, so like, you know, with blockchain and crypto, like, you know, you were talking about, it seems like what everyone seems to be maybe a little bit wary about is like the crypto that had like that big bubble and everything. But like you said, the Chinese government is still very excited about the potentials of this technology, even though like it's quite funny that you say it's intermediary. So basically they think that like it's an no more middleman between the Chinese government and the,
well, basically in some way, not only the Chinese government, you see a lot of the in Asia, you know, Japan and Thailand, Singapore, Hong Kong, even, you know, the Hong Kong trade finance system is actually powered by blockchain. So you started to see government realize that, you know what, we don't want to be the last one to even realize what's happening, right? We don't want the internet to pass us by. And so now in some way, to me, it's not necessarily a bad thing where, you know, governments may want to be part of the network, you know, part of what I call like the super node. And, you know, government is not necessarily, you know, wanted to be left behind. In fact, some of them are taking a more active role in terms of research and funding and want to push certain things forward. I think, you know, being in this space, it always, I think that the population always sort of interchangeably about blockchain and crypto, they are really not the same. Obviously, the incentive of it, you know, having token and crypto incentivize a lot of the developers, open source developers and or mining companies and want to support, this is how they get the reward. But I think like the key thing is, you know, if we wanted to push the whole industry forward, is that I actually, you know, I'm glad that Chinese government or US government is paying close attention and in some way helping to set certain standard so people don't go crazy. And it's really, blockchain is actually about transparency. Should not be, you know, for all those hype and crazy people trying to do all these crazy ICO. It's really not about that.
Mm. So far, what is like the most transformational sort of application you've seen that has used blockchain as a technology? Like what really, you know, changed the way you thought about it?
Yeah. So our first investments is a company called Ubanks, and they are actually a fiat to crypto exchange based out of Argentina. And the reason why we invested in that is not just they want to be like Coinbase of Latin America. Coinbase already a $1 billion company and generating at least 3-digit millions revenue the last couple of years. And it's because if you look at the South America, Latin America, right now, their currency is literally at 15 years low. Looking at Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, all their currency is just so unstable that digital currency actually play a role. Not just with the crazy Bitcoin or Ethereum, but really even just for stable coin. Like many of them would rather hold US dollar. So it's actually serving a not economic and social challenges, having Eubanks to be there and to support the population. So we're very excited, you know, to be part of that. And I'm excited about exchanges in general, because there are already very, very strong Chinese player and very, very strong US player. The China one is Binance, Huobi, OKEX. They're all from China originally. In the US, you see Coinbase, but I think that just similar to like the strategy seeing, Tencent and Alibaba recently being actually fairly active in Southeast Asia, India, and also South America. You see a lot of M&A and also investment that is going from China to these regions. I think in the blockchain space, very, very similar situation will happen as well, where there's going to be super talented engineers and founders from China to go to all these various different countries. Because, you know, if you think about it, China and Southeast Asia or Latin America, it's basically, these regions are China 10, 15 years ago. And Chinese is very, very hardworking. And in this case, no longer just 996, literally it'll be 24/7 now, work around the clock in all time zone. But I've been spending a lot of time, particularly in Southeast Asia, when I go there and meet some of these founders, what they want to learn is not Silicon Valley. They want to learn what China is doing and learn from their experience.
Yeah, this is also, as I report, I also sort of watch the Southeast Asia region. It's very interesting to sort of see companies like Grab and Gojek, like now they're doing all this super app sort of ecosystems. Like, I think a lot of them are looking towards China as like a way of like doing things, whether or not it's in terms of business model. So, I'm certain that in like for something like blockchain, it would be
similar. Yeah, absolutely. Then your hometown, Singapore, now Grab moved to Singapore as a headquarters. And I absolutely see, I made a comment the other day, I thought it's kind of fun. In the 80s, like we sort of talked about like the four dragons in Asia, right? And I think that mobile payment also have the four dragon. obvious one is like Hangzhou with Alipay, Shenzhen/Hong Kong have like WeChat Pay, and Singapore with Grab, and then also with Jakarta for Gojek. And you will see Grab and Gojek is definitely learning the super app model, as you said, what WeChat and Alipay is doing. It's very, very exciting to see.
Yeah. Also, I just want to, just a disclaimer, since we were talking about Alibaba and Ant Financial here sometimes, that SCMP is owned by Alibaba. Yeah, I mean, even with Ant Financial, I think they use blockchain. I think they've been looking a lot into blockchain. Like, I think last year, I believe, they launched like a remittance service that's built on blockchain technology. And yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that blockchain is, going to be a really transformational sort of technology. But while there are all of these upsides, what are some of the challenges that governments or companies, might face in this era? Because, we've been hearing a lot about blockchain for several years now, but I'm not sure if like mainstream adoption, if it's starting. Yeah.
I think that one thing I do want to like put it out there, just to demystify the word blockchain, is really the way that I explained to my mother is this is a data architecture, distributed ledger. And if it's really working for the normal consumer, they shouldn't even know that this is happening. Means because it's really about data architecture and data infrastructure. So I think in terms of adoption, and let's say I'm going to start using the blockchain infrastructure for payment and remittances. Why does Filipino made in Hong Kong need to worry about, there's all these blockchain stuff behind? All they care about is their daughter or their mom is going to get my salary that they send from Hong Kong. So in this sense, I think sometimes, a lot of the public like to sort of jump ahead. He said, where's the adoption? no one talks about, hey, are you using AWS for this app? It just doesn't make any sense. So in this case, I guess like we started to pick something where it is super geeky and it is really back-end, but is really a backbone technology that we're investing in. So I actually would rather my mom never knew that this is built on a blockchain. All I want them to realize that, wow, now everything is cheaper, more efficient, and more transparent. Why in the world are we still paying, I don't know how many percent to Western Union to send, you know, a small $1,000 Hong Kong salary back to Philippines, then you take at least, I don't know how many percent for my hardware money. It just doesn't make any sense. And so in this case, I have a lot of really awesome banker friends in Hong Kong, but I really think that if the banks don't do something about this, they will become sort of the telco, become the dumb pipe of money. And for us, it's really about how do we improve efficiency of flow of data. And the money part is only one part of it. In China, you started to see, actually not only China, Estonia is a prime country where, okay, it's only not more than 2 million people, but their whole entire government infrastructure is built on blockchain. They use it for identity. They use like medical record is all like on the blockchain. They can vote. Okay, this has nothing to do with blockchain, but they can vote on mobile. So there are so many things. A certain case study is already there where the idea is actually about transparency. By the way, there's a whole lot of things that should never build on a blockchain at all.
Like and what?
like for example, there's a lot of people sort of talk about, oh my God, can you use blockchain and let's build some, okay, I know some gaming blockchain people will hate me, but like gamers care less about this game is built on a blockchain or not because it's too slow. So it's not definitely not for that. Game development is really about how fun the game is being played and how do you actually operate a game to, you know, run campaigns and virtual goods and whatnot. So I don't think like if there's anything that is super fast in terms of transaction speed, like there's nothing wrong to use a centralized database. So I highly encourage, as much as I love it and I really enjoy it as a really geeky person, but at the end of the day, I think that, you know, the adoption part even is being adopted. No consumer will even notice. But is right now the infrastructure from a government point of view, from a developer point of view, is really, really good thing to see a lot of very talented engineers are all working and contribute to this new infrastructure that we're building.
Yeah. So, it really sounds like in the perfect use case scenario sort of thing where blockchain would be the infrastructure that it should just run and we wouldn't even know that that's what the backbone is, basically, right? So are there any other interesting trends in blockchain you're seeing?
Another one that I found it, so I think like the whole industry taught me a lot of things, because just to start with, to think about on the use cases part, where recently, I think about 3-4 months ago, Fidelity actually announced that they're going to have a new product that support Bitcoin custody solution. And then Goldman Sachs also invested in a Bitcoin custody company called BitGo. And
sorry, what is Bitcoin custody?
Basically, in the fiat world, right? There are banks, custody banks, that really all they do is to hold money on your behalf. Hold your asset on your behalf. And in the normal money world, there are 4 banks that actually control 80% of the worldwide financial custodies. And they are State Street, BNY Mellon, JP Morgan, and Chase. So each of them own about 10 to 15% in terms of market share. You're talking about trillions of dollars where I hold it for you. And give me some gold. I put it in a mountain somewhere. So they literally in charge of many of their clients' money. And so now fast forward. And in fact, if you think about it, everything that is important to you and I, unless I don't believe any of us put money under our pillow anymore, right? Now you trust your banks, let's say HSBC, the great banks, to hold our money. But we don't really touch most things, and particularly in China, you basically use Alipay and WeChat Pay. So the concept of digital asset custody means, hey, I own a whole lot of these shares of this particular company. It's all digital. And let's say I do own my favorite CryptoKitty, and I don't trust myself for me to hold it in my wallet. And I'm going to have somebody else to hold it for me because they will have a vault, like they will have enough security and use cryptography to protect it. So that's what digital asset custody is about.
So it's like the digital version of like vault. Some bank holding gold in like a mountain, but this is like in a digital version.
That's correct. Yeah, okay. So the digital gold mountain, what's really fascinating is that once both Fidelity and Goldman Sachs have announced some of their movement, I've actually been spending a lot of time talking to really boring banks and really wanted to learn how they think about this. And surprisingly, what's exciting is they started to actually wanted to learn and also wanted to explore, because after all, things that are important to us are not really physical anymore. It's actually all digital. So, you know, not just for cryptocurrency. It's like in the future, there's so many things is going to all be digitized. How do we actually protect it and to make sure that some hacker is not going to steal our password to our medical record? There's a lot of things that we need to build to protect us. And that's like another area that I'm actively looking and investing in terms of startup and companies, because it's something that will touch you and I and really disrupt traditional banking as well.
And you can find out more about Edith's Proof of Capital Fund at proof.fund. So that's proof.fund. Yeah, so don't forget, if you want to check out the cool tech content that we put out on our site, whether it's a blockchain or other really cool stories, you can head on down to scmp.com/tech. Finally, you can also follow me on Twitter at Zensu. That's at Zensoo. Last but not least, if you like this podcast, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. We are also available on Spotify and Stitcher. So I'll see you next week. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.